Welcome to Martinsville Methodist Church. Let us open our time on this Palm Sunday with prayer. Please join me. Save us, O Lord. Hosanna. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. To you who triumphed over death, we sing our praise. Your steadfast love endures forever. As we face your death and recall the week of your suffering, may we do so with a joy that anticipates the celebration of your resurrection. May we do so with confidence to turn to you in both life and death. Amen. Join me in the call to worship. Cheers fill the air. The sound of hope and victory. For the time being, the people were glad hearts. Their king has come into his own. So we can come with hope this day to worship God, who sends Jesus into our midst. Please turn in your hymnal to page 839. Page 839, Psalm 118. Join me in the reading, please. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This the Lord's doing. It's miraculous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you to give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God who has given us light. Lead the festival procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever. So is the reading of the Psalms. The reading of our text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, verse 21. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. Please follow along. When they had approached Jerusalem, they'd come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, the king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, a foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. He sat on the colts. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds were going ahead of him. Those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priest and the scribes saw these wonderful things that he had done, and the children were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you will have prepared praises for yourself?'" And then he left them and went out to the city of Bethany and spent the night there. So is the reading of the word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice in you and we thank you for your wonderful words and this wonderful story of you entering Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, as we open the text and look at it and combine it with other texts, that our eyes can be open and our hearts can be filled with joy as we understand this triumphal entry that we celebrate every year. We ask that you renew it in our hearts and give us a greater vision of what it was all meant to be. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. So this is a day of celebration, of great joy, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, many Jews were entering Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover. This is a major event that drew Jews not just from the surrounding community, but Jews who lived far distance away. I mean, like countries distance away. They came from different locations all over the world. Passover, which what they're celebrating, is when God killed every firstborn in Egypt. We find this in Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 28. And this is a time where we had Moses and we had the plagues. 9 plagues had come down at Moses' hand. And Pharaoh was very resistant and denied God. He denied not only God's existence, but he stood firm that he was more powerful than God. And this was the 10th plague. The killing of all firstborn. It wasn't just the firstborn of the Jews, it was the firstborn of all the Egyptians and the firstborn of the animals, the donkeys, and other animal life, the firstborn of every single one of them. And of course, hopefully you remember the story, they took the lamb and they put the blood on the post so that the angel of death would pass over, which is why it's called Passover. And so, this is an event they were remembering. It was mandated by God that they remember this event where God saved them. And in fact, you can read in Exodus 23, verse 15, it pretty much mandates what they were supposed to remember. And it says, "You shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread. As I commanded you, at the appointed time of the month, you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed." You see, this was an important event that God wanted to remember and have it passed down from generation to generation. Now, this particular year, many people came to Jerusalem not just to celebrate the Passover, they wanted to meet Lazarus. Remember Lazarus who rose from the dead? And Jesus himself. And we can find a little bit more detail on this in John 12:9-11, where it says, the large crowd of Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they also might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on the account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. So you see, this was a special year. Not only did we have the traditional Passover, we had Lazarus, the man that was brought back to life 4 days after he had been put in the tomb. And then they got to meet Jesus too. And at this point, Jesus was very famous. His ministry had grown, and stories about him were being spread all over. I mean, you had the story where Jesus raises the son of the widow of Nain. And that was a very public miracle, where a processional was coming down. He walked up, grabbed the coffin, it stopped, tells the boy to get up, and hands it to his mother and walks off. And everybody that was in that crowd praised God for the prophet that had been sent. And the story went out through the entire region. You had the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. The people came and they saw the blessing of the food, and the few loaves and the few fish turned into enough to feed thousands of people. And then we had 12 baskets left over when we were done. This too went out, and people talked about it through the whole land. And now we've got the raising of Lazarus. Stories fresh anew, how Jesus just spoke and the dead man came out of the tomb after being there for 4 days. Can you imagine the crowds pouring in Jerusalem and the expectation? Because this was some kind of special year. It wasn't like any traditional Passover. And of course, as we were talking about the start of this text, it was no common time. Prophecies and mysteries of the kingdom are being fulfilled. Look at this in verse 1-6, where Jesus tells them to go into the village opposite of you. Immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt in her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And of course, a good Jew back then knew his Old Testament, where it says this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, the king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, a foal of the beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. As you can see, prophecy is being fulfilled. These stories that they had memorized and had in their hearts, because back then, the only way you had scripture was to memorize it. There was no book to grab off the shelf. They had the scrolls locked up in the temples. That was not for somebody to commonly read. So as it was read, people would pass it mouth to mouth down as traditional stories. So people knew the stories. And Jesus' life and ministry was about 33 years. And most of which of this time, it was just a few years, the last 3 years. And through this whole time, 300 prophecies were fulfilled, or more. 300 is the amount that we can kind of peg down. The colt was just one of these, and the colt had never been ridden, and Jesus was the first rider for her to experience. And of course, Zechariah 9:9, it really does sum up how we think the feeling was at that time with all these crowds around. This is what Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Right out of the pages of prophecy, Jesus rode. And of course, this was repeated in Matthew that I had read here, talking about what was prophesied. And he started out at the Mount of Olives, and then he wound his way from the Mount of Olives down to Jerusalem through the city, winding his way through the city streets, and he ended up right at the temple. And so you can see the latter part of that, verses 6 through 11, describes the rest of it. The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed him. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the ground, and the others cutting branches from the trees, spreading them on the road. Crowd going ahead of him, and those who were following shouting, Hosanna, Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when they'd entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, Who is this? And the crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So as you can see, it was some kind of time. It's clear that the Pharisees were not happy, and obviously they were losing control of the people. They sure weren't. They were out here singing praises to the prophet Jesus as he's arriving at the temple. And this is what the Pharisees had to say about it all back in Luke. It says in Luke chapter 19, verses 39 and 40, And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Can you see this scene in your mind's eye? Use your imagination to conjure it up. The crowd's going wild. The religious leaders are going crazy. This is not supposed to happen. They want to be in control of the people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. These religious leaders had lots of laws and obligations that the people needed to follow. In fact, the Jewish leaders would keep the people under their control or under their thumb with the law of Moses. And that's just the Ten Commandments. What they really had in their hands was the Torah, which has 613 commandments. Can you imagine trying to keep 613 ritual commandments every day of your life? Not only do you have to memorize the 613, you have to do as they say. Otherwise, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would criticize you. Now, Jesus expressed his distaste over this kind of control back in Matthew. If you look in Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 9, this is what we read there. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now I want to stop here for a moment and comment. When he says that, they're not talking about wash your hands for cleanliness. There's a whole ritual there from those 613 laws that you have to do and rituals that come out of the Torah. And that's what they're referring to. They weren't ritually washing their hands. And Jesus answered them, said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whatsoever says his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God.' And then he need to not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Hypocrites! "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, 'These people draw near me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines these commandments of men?'" So Jesus was not happy with the Pharisees and the Sadducees because their traditions that they pushed on the people twisted what God intended for God's laws and what God expected people to follow. And then Jesus ends up at the temple, and he removes even more of their control. And of course, this is titled from our scripture reading today, Cleansing the Temple. "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and they healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw these wonderful things he had done, the children who were shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna, the son of David,' they became indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, to you have prepared praise for yourself?' So I want you to understand that the money changers that talk about in there, these were people that were taking good money and robbing them in the fashion of not getting their money's worth. Because many people came from different locations and they had to provide a sacrifice. They had to provide donations to the temple. So when they came, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, they would say by their tradition, "Well, we can only accept this form of currency. Therefore, you must exchange your currency in the courts, because that's the only place you can get the currency that's needed, that's acceptable to God." And so they'd come in and exchange. And of course, instead of getting exchange rate of maybe 1 to 5, they got a much lesser exchange rate, where they had to give 10 times amount to get one coin. Highway robbery. We experience this as our dealings overseas as we travel different countries. And you have to exchange that American cash for local currency. And you get very frustrated when you know the rate is much cheaper, but yet, because you've got nowhere else to go, they charge you an exorbitant amount of money. And then there was the animal sacrifice. You would bring your animal, and they would say, "I'm sorry, it's not official. The scriptures and the law of Moses does not talk about having officially qualified animals. They're to be the best that you have." And so they would arrive, and they would have to give them their animal for another animal and pay a fee. And then, of course, for the next guy, they would take that animal that they just bought and traded for, and then traded to him. So it was highway robbery, and everyone knew it. And so this is what Jesus was fighting against. And this is why he came in and turned the money changers' tables, knocked over the chairs, chased them out, because they were stealing from the people and they were stealing from God. And of course, in all this, we can assume that the religious leaders most likely not only approved all this, but I'm sure some of them received kickbacks from the merchants. You know how that goes. You want to be there, you got to pay the fee. And so they see all this going out the window, that Jesus, the great prophet, is putting a damper on their money-making operation. It hurts them in their pockets. And then he turns around there in verse 14, which I read, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Again, the Pharisees forbid such activities, that not only would you heal on the Sabbath, that you would heal in the temple. And we've had other stories in the background that talk about Jesus said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, not the Pharisees. So they are losing control of the whole situation. Not only is the money changers running out the door, all these people that are lame and blind come and Jesus heals them all. The crowds are pouring in. The Pharisees are not in control. So how do they respond to all this? When the chief priest and the scribes saw wonderful things that he had done and children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna, the son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you not read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you shall be prepare praise for yourself?" The Pharisees, who were supposed to be serving God, clearly had a different agenda. And they found that Jesus was a direct threat against their authority and was ripping out the authority that they had over the people. And of course, it all ends that day in verse 17, where it says that, "And he left them and went out to the city of Bethany and spent the night there." So Jesus ends the day by leaving the city by foot, not by donkey, by foot. And of course, this narrative that I just went through is covered across all four Gospels. And it's all describing just one day. It's not an extended period of time. It's all one day. They got up in the morning, and then it ended. Started in the Mount of Olives, and it ended in Bethany. And you can find this in Matthew 21, Luke chapter 19, John 12, and Mark chapter 11. And of course, like I said, it started at the Mount of Olives with a donkey, which was done to fulfill prophecy. And the crowds lining up from the Mount of Olives to the temple in Jerusalem, laying down their coats, holding palms in their hands and laying palms on the ground. And then Jesus riding the colt through the crowds, with the crowds shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And the Pharisees scolding Jesus for the crowd's actions. And then ending at the temple, chasing out the money changers and the traders, healing the blind and the lame, the crowd shouting praises and worshiping God and him. And then ending it all with arguing with religious leaders who are upset to see their authority being undershaken, and packing it all up and walking out of town. That's what happened on this day. And this is what we celebrate. So remember, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, what happened that day. And it is the start of the last week of Jesus' life. There's a whole series of things that happen. And then we step into the story of Good Friday. And of course, we know that Easter is coming next week. So we will have the triumphal entry, the tears of Good Friday, and then the wonderful celebration. Because Jesus rises from the dead and the tomb will be empty. It's going to be an exciting week of the stories of Jesus. Please join me on page 281, our affirmation of faith. Please turn to 281, affirmation of faith. Join me and read it together. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to suffer death on a cross. Grant that we may share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and ever. Amen. Now for the benediction. Passing from joy into sorrow and to elation, we come to Christ in this holy week. Today is only part of the story. Jesus' triumph leads to his death to his resurrection. May the journey of this week lead you into the fullness of Christ's love, to worship God who sends Jesus into our midst. Go in peace.